Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Late Night Vision Show. This is episode number 168. And if you found this show, you have found the first and only podcast dedicated to all things night vision, thermal imaging. And as always, I've got my host here with me tonight, my co-host, Mr. Hans East Texas, from the Hans East Texas YouTube channel. And I am Jason from Outdoor Legacy. And we are thankful that you are here again with us this week. If it's your first time watching, welcome aboard. And sit back because we've got a great show packed in for you tonight. How are you, Hans?
Doing well, Jason. So for all of y'all out there, if you're interested in any night vision or thermal optic, please hop onto the website, outdoorlegacygear.com. You can check out all the scopes. And some of the scopes that you see on there will have some review videos tagged to them sometimes. Those are videos that I've done to review certain scopes. And I'm very excited about the review that we've got tonight. I'm going to let you get into before we get into specs, but we've got the Envision Halo X50, man. This is a big night for us.
This is a big night. This is a great scope, and we are excited to review this. We're going to jump into the review. I want to go ahead and lay some groundwork. If you're a regular listener of this show, we did a few weeks ago, four or five episodes ago, I think we did the Envision Halo X35 review. And so some of this is going to sound familiar to you. I want to go over real briefly what these scopes are and kind of how they're laid out so you'll have an idea. These optics, there's three new Halo X models. And again, we recently did the Halo X35. I believe that was episode number 165. If you want to go back and check that out, you can. The Halo X35 is a 2.5 power base magnification 640 by 480 high resolution thermal scope by Envision. It is, all these are going to have the same image quality. They're just going to be a little different features across the three. And we'll get into that here in a minute as we talk about the 50. So we did the Halo X35, again, 2.5 power. It is $7,495 retail, $7,495. And then tonight, we're going to talk about the Halo X50. Now, this is a 50 millimeter unit, and it's going to be a 3.5 power base magnification. Going to have all the same features, image quality, what have you, but it is $8,495. And then the third model that we'll be doing a review of, in several weeks at some point when we, get time to cram it into our busy schedule of reviews, we're going to do the Envision Halo XRF. And the XRF is simply a Halo X50 with a laser rangefinder built on to the side of the scope. And so everything you hear tonight about the Halo X50 will apply to the Halo XRF, except it has the additional laser rangefinder built on, which adds $1,000 to the price tag and brings it in at $9,495. Now, real quick before I let Hans jump in here, I just want to go ahead and say there's a lot of guys listening and going, oh my goodness, these are very expensive optics. What's up with this? These are the best of the best of the thermal optics available right now, 2021, to hunters, in this industry. These are the cream of the crop. These are the Rolexes, the Cadillacs. This is them. And so we're very excited to do this review. Hans has been hunting with this scope a lot. I used it for several weeks before he got it, and now I can't get it back from him. He's had that thing mounted on his rifle, and if you follow him over at Instagram, if you don't, go over there. It's H-A-N-S-E-T-X. You can find him there. He has posted a lot of hog and coyote hunting videos, little short clips out of that. And then I posted some of those on the Outdoor Legacy Facebook page as well. So Hans, go ahead. Now that we've kind of given them a rundown of what this is, tell them about it. Tell them the specs and what they can expect to get.
Yeah. So let's start off with the price. $8,495 will get you a lot. It will also, there's a lot of things it can get you. But if you're in the market for a thermal optic, it'll get you a Halo X50. It's a 640 by 480 thermal core resolution optic. It's a 12 micron 60 hertz refresh rate, 50 millimeter objective lens. The eyepiece is focusable, but they call this a fixed focus. But before you freak out, if you remember episode 165, it is a fixed focus, but it's not a fixed focus. you take that with a grain of salt. It's much better than that.
Yeah, let me just say real quick. Yeah. So if you are, that does scare you. When we're talking about other brands of optics, a lot of times we say, oh, it's a fixed focus, as that's a negative. But InVision, they are the very best at what they do. And I told a guy on the phone earlier today, we were talking about these scopes, and I said, it's black magic. I said, I don't know how they do it, but they can make their fixed focus, look way better than the, underclassmen of other high-end scopes with focusable objectives. So don't worry about that. It's actually, to be honest, kind of nice that you don't have to focus it, and you're still going to get the very best image quality available.
Yeah. It's we can't say it's automatic focus because it's technically not, but
it's a fixed focus.
If you put the reticle over an object, you can almost see it fine tune the clarity on itself or by itself.
I don't even know if that's true, but I feel like it. There's something going on.
Definitely, I've tried it. I've tested it. It definitely does something. I know this scope can't just recalibrate automatically on its own. There's some black magic going on. I have no idea what's going on, but it definitely adjusts itself. It's an 8x digital zoom optic. It starts off in 3.5 power, goes up to 28 power. One of the key things, integrate the walk around a little bit as we talk about this. If you remember the Halo X35 review, we talked about the fact that this optic now runs on two 18650 batteries. Actually, it go in this compartment on the side, and it kind of just looks like a regular old. Well, basically this is a Halo LR body with a battery pack on the side. Just about. They changed the buttons. There's a lot of things. I don't say a lot different, but there's some things different. But that battery pack right there on the side is one. That is a fantastic feature. Runs on 18650 rechargeable batteries. You can get them anywhere. They're cheap. You could fill your pocket with them and hunt all night long and not have to, buy expensive batteries. But it's a nice feature when, you're paying $8,500 for a scope. It's nice that they kept that in mind where you're not having to buy, a couple $100 set of batteries or extra batteries for it as well. They call this a fixed focus objective. It's not necessarily fixed focus, but this is a manual calibration scope. We've talked about that in the past. If you've heard us talk about InVision products. Detection range, 2,020 yards. Recognition range, they say, is 726 yards. Identification range, 380 yards. It weighs 37 ounces. I do not want to forget one of the biggest features that the Halos come with now is internal video and audio recording. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's gorgeous. I don't know how they're getting the video or what they're doing different, but it's got a different look to some of the other scopes out there. The video does, and it looks fantastic. They've really done a great job with it. And again, another feature that they've added on to this scope, an upgrade from the Halo LR scope, being able to put internal video and audio recording. It does come standard with a one-piece American Defense manufacturing one throw lever mount. So you can see it comes with it on there. Fantastic mount. Returns the scope back to zero. So you sight it in, take it on and off, put it back on, making sure that you put it back on the same spot on the rifle, but you will not have to re-zero the scope. Again, that's another additional, couple hundred dollar value included in with that. Pretty much, I don't think I left anything else out. Unless you think of something, Jason.
I don't think off the top of my head.
It's waterproof.
I think that's
waterproof. It is Wi-Fi capable. I will say that. You can get the videos off, either through your cell phone or you can hook it up to your laptop. I don't mess with it. To get the best video possible.
So yeah, we only do it through our computers.
Through our computers. There's a USB-C port right here. You can plug it in. It comes with a cable. You hook it up right up to your computer. They're easy to download videos off of. It's compatible with Apple MacBook. It's compatible with Windows, you know, a Dell Windows-based computer. Very easy to get videos off. Fantastic. No problem at all. I mean, they've just done a – I love this scope. They've just done a fantastic job with it. And let's do a quick walk around unless you want to.
Yeah, I want to say this, folks. If you're listening to this on one of the podcast apps, the audio version only, you know, if you want to see what's going on, go over to YouTube. Just go to the Late Night Vision show on YouTube. You can find this episode 168. Hans is fixing to hold this scope up. I don't know how I got him to take it off his rifle, but somehow he did. And so I'm gonna get him to do a walk around, and you're gonna be able to see what the scope looks like and what those functions are. So if you're not on YouTube, go check that out.
Yeah, I'm way superstitious when it comes to taking scopes off my rifle, and I know this thing. You could take it off of, you know, and put it back on a dozen times, and it's not going to affect the zero. But I'm just way superstitious.
I hate taking
scopes off my rifles. But anyway, so you've got this really nice flip open hard plastic lens cover. You know, this is it's a lens cover, but it's hard to get too excited about that. But it's fantastic. It's a great lens cover. As I said before, you got the battery pack on the side. There's a turn knob up here on the top. What's cool about this, and I know you noticed this, Jason, but you and I never talk about it, that lid for the battery compartment on top, did you notice it's magnetic? So the batteries, it pulls the batteries. Yeah, how cool is that?
Yes. I honestly, we forgot to mention on the X35 review, but that little thing seems minor, but it's really cool. It's like locks into place with the magnet. You know, when you put it on there, pulls the batteries out. It's one of those small touches.
Yeah, it is. It's attention to detail that, you know, they didn't have to do that, but they chose to do it. So, you know, batteries go in this battery compartment on the side. I don't have the rubber eye cup on it. Definitely comes with one. I've taken it off. I guess I'm just trying to be one of the cool kids now these days that don't have the rubber eye cup on, but I actually like this scope without it. The eye cup, that comes on it, it's a small one. It's not bad at all, but I prefer it without the eye cup. So they put the battery pack on the side. Well, that's where the buttons used to be on the Halo LR. So they're like, well, what are we going to do with our buttons? Well, they did the right thing. They didn't put them on the right-hand side of the scope. They put them on the top. So kudos to them for putting the buttons on the top. You've got a kind of a square, you know, diagram here of buttons. So you've got all the buttons around it. You got the menu button or the power and the menu button in the middle. I'm sorry, that's not the menu button. That's only the power button. The menu button's on the side. But real easy to use at night. Real easy to find. No problems at all. You know, you do have to, because this is a manual recalibration or a manual nuke scope, you know, you're having to close the lens cap and nuke the optic while you're hunting with it to refresh the image and get the best picture possible. But it's easy to do at night. The buttons are well laid out, easy control. I'm going to tell you this, InVision scopes are one of the easiest scopes to use, to set in. The instruction manual that comes with it is fantastic. It comes in the hard case. And I don't know if we've talked about that, how much we've talked about. The hard case that it comes with is really, really nice. It's a great quality hard case to, you know, to carry your scope around in when it's not on a rifle. In there, there's a series of a few laminated cards, and it's just a quick setup menu to help you figure out what the best settings are. There are some settings in here that you probably, if you owned another scope, wouldn't be familiar with, like gamma and settings and different things like that. But the instruction manual tells you exactly the preferred setting. So it's easy. It's easy to sight in. Easy to work. Yeah.
I want to interrupt you real quick because this was something I wanted to bring up later, and I'm afraid I'm going to forget it. So you're talking about this instruction manual. We have gone on and on over the years about this instructions for the scope, because I mean, people are like, these guys are all excited about the instructions, but I want to bring this up because important factor. Number one, it's super simple. There are these hard laminated cards. You're not going to lose them. They're waterproof. They're just, it's super easy to read these, follow them. The big thing is, and Hans mentioned this, is there's some settings in there that they're not in other scopes. So you're going to be unfamiliar with them. And one of the biggest issues that I see is I'll have guys call me that you know, bought an Envision product from us. And they're like, man, I don't know what I did, but it doesn't look good. I mean, it looked good before. I was monkeying with it. What did I do? And I always say, number one, you can do a reset back to factory settings, but they're like me. They didn't read those instructions. You know, right. You do that last. But yeah. If you will take those settings and they give you the preferred or kind of, you know, factory suggested settings. And so some of these things that, again, that gamma and these weird things that CE levels may not mean anything to you or me, but they'll say, you know, suggested whatever, 1 to 3 or whatever. And so you've got this range. And I have found that if you will stay within their ranges every time, you will thank yourself later.
Exactly.
It will be so. I've never gotten out of any of their ranges and improved anything. To be honest, most of the time I leave it just like it comes, you know, in the box. But again, if a guy calls me and he says, I don't know what's going on with my Envision, you know, the image wasn't like it was before, and he'll go, I was monkeying with something. Go take those laminated cards, get those settings in there, and you're going to get an image of like $1 million. I mean, definitely stick to that. So they have definitely helped you out right there.
They did. And I stick to the settings on the card all the time, you know, and it's always worked out perfect. The picture always looks perfect. And you're right. Just stick with what's on there. So, you know, that's the walk around of the scope. It is, you know, it's a fantastic scope. They've had to change the design a little bit again because they want to be able to put, you know, the rechargeable 18650 batteries on it. But let's talk about ID ranges. But before we do that, let's talk about the battery life, because this thing will run forever and a day on 18650. They run a long time. I mean, you know, I'd say they say about 7 hours, 7 to 8 hours. I think it'll get that 7 or 8 hours
at least. Yeah. Really
cold weather. Yeah. You know, cold weather might affect that. Hot weather, you know, extreme hot weather might affect that. But the great thing is, it's like you buy some cheap rechargeable 18650 batteries and keep them in your pocket and you're good to go. I mean, it's a great design. It's a great addition. You know, being able to stock those batteries up is just as much as you want. You'll never have a concern of running out of batteries.
No, and I'm just going to say, if for some reason that is a concern and you're up in the, you know, Midwest or the Northwest where you're going to be hunting in, you know, zero or negative temperatures, and you're like, man, I don't want to be keeping these batteries, you can always run this scope off of an external USB battery pack. If that's a concern of yours, that's always a backup. But I'll tell you, even in cold weather, if you've got a good set of 18650s in the scope and a spare set, you know, in your pocket or in the truck, you're going to go a long, long time, even in really cold weather. But if you want to keep a USB battery pack around as just a, you know, emergency backup, you could sure do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with that being said, ID ranges, I'm going to let you go. You've used the scope a lot. I've used the scope a lot.
I don't know what I said on the 35, and if I remember, correctly, I think I said a long, long, long ways, and I'm going to say the exact same thing here. The ID range on a hog, a deer, a coyote, something of that size, I think is easily going to be in that 400 or 500 yard range. I mean, it's probably further than that if you've got experience and you know, you know, what an animal looks like with thermal, and you know what the animals in your area are and kind of where you're hunting. But 400 or 500 yards, I think, is no problem. I'm not saying that I would necessarily advise shooting that far, but IDing and saying, hey, look, there's some hogs out there, or there's some deer, that's not what we're after. I think that 400 or 500 yard is very, very, you know, much within reason. What do you say?
I say having a scope that you can ID at 400 or 500 yards, saves you a lot of walking. Because I cannot tell you. I can't tell you how many times in the past when you have a scope that doesn't have a very far ID range and you think you see something that might be a hog, or you think you see something that might be a coyote or whatever, and you start walking, and about 200 yards in, you realize, nope, that's a deer or something else. And you turn around and walk back to the truck with your head, you know, walking down, face down in shame. So, yeah, that's the I would agree with you on the 400 to 500 yard range. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with that at all.
Definitely. Hans, I think we may have an audio issue going on here a little bit. I don't know what was going on, but I've got you now. There was something weird going on.
I think the competition, other scope manufacturers were trying to dial into our
I think that's very, very possible is what it was. It sounded like somebody was getting in their pickup truck. So I don't know.
You want to hear a funny story, and I can do this now. 3 years ago on the show, we would have been horrified. My studio is right off of the garage of our house. When my wife pulls up in her car in the garage, it wants to sink over to her car.
I thought I heard somebody opening their door, and I wondered what was going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I knew we were, when I heard the garage door open, I knew we were about to lose each other. But
good. No, we're good now. Well,
the 400 to 500 yards is accurate. Being able to ID that far, you know. Even further in some cases, but it is a long way. And the good thing, if you're listening on the audio only version right now, I'm going to be running a bunch of video, of different animals, I've got so much video. I've got to do something with it because I can't share it all in just my short review. So I'm going to run a bunch of it right now. But if you're listening over there, check out the YouTube video because you'll get to see exactly what we're talking about.
Well, I want to do something now, and this is something that, we cringe a little bit when we do this, but I think that a lot of people, our listeners, appreciate it. And it's Hans and I have always said we want to be fair. We want to be objective in these reviews. We want to be as unbiased as possible, and we want to tell you everything we like about it. And there's every review in the world can do that. But we also want to tell you if there's something we don't like about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a lot of times, and I know some people will say, well, y'all don't say much bad about them. Well, we don't review scopes we don't like. That's number one. If we really don't like it, we just don't review it. But every scope has got something that can be improved on. If anybody ever invents the perfect scope, then, I guess that'll be the only one we sell. But there's always something to pick apart, and there's also a lot of positive things. And so I like to get the negatives out of the way first, you know, just say, this is what I don't like. Now let's talk about what we do like. And I'm gonna start. I'm going to bring up a couple things that I don't like, and then I'll let you say if there's anything you don't like, and then I want to come back and say the positive because I've got a pretty big list of positives written down. I think one thing that is probably not my favorite is the overall size of the unit. It is a big unit. You've got a 50 millimeter lens. It's a big body, and then you put the battery housing on the side of that. So it feels like a big, bulky unit. I don't feel like the weight is bad. I think when you pick it up, it's actually lighter than you expect that it's going to be for the size. But, I mean, I don't know. We're nitpicking here. If I could make it smaller, I think I would. The other thing, Hans has already mentioned this. We talked about this on the Halo X review, the 35. I'm going to talk about it on the XRF and anything else we do that has a manual calibration. This is something that you need to know about, especially if you're upgrading from another scope that has automatic or semi-automatic calibration. As Hans said, to recalibrate this thermal sensor, and every scope has to do this, whether it's automatic or semi, it's going to have to be recalibrated just to keep the image as clear as possible. You're going to have to close the lens cap periodically and press a button to calibrate it. It only, it takes the amount of time to close the lens cap, press the button, wait 1.5 seconds, open the lens cap. It's not a big deal, but it is something you're going to have to do if you're not used to that. Now, everybody asks, how often do you have to do it? And that greatly differs depending on the environmental conditions. You know, right now where we're at, East Texas, it is hot and it is humid. I mean, the nights are so bad. You walk outside, you're just sweating as soon as you walk out there. There's, you know, dew all over everything. Water's dripping off the house. You're going to have to nuke or recalibrate this thing pretty often. I mean, it just, you might be doing it every, you know, 2 minutes. I mean, it just depends. It's going to be a lot. But as those conditions get drier and you get cooler weather, if you're in a climate where you don't have high humidity, this is really never going to be a big deal. But again, even for us, once you get into the fall or the winter and you get those cooler temperatures, you know, you may not do this but every 5 minutes, and there may come the point you may not do it but every 10 or 15 minutes in dry weather. It's maybe not something you're going to do a lot. Right. Obviously, I wish it was something that we didn't have to do. It's just the way that most all of these high-end thermal optics running this BAE 640 12 micron sensor work. And so it's something we put up with. It's just the way that it is. You're not gonna get another scope of this caliber and not have to do that. Okay.
No, it's just one of those things that's a known entity. It's something that you the trade-off for having the best picture image in the business, in the industry, is having to do the manual calibration, like Jason said, closing
the
lens cap.
And the guys, the guys who buy these scopes and use them, they don't care. It's second nature. They're not even thinking about it. They're just doing it as need be. But that's the one thing we always like to bring up and kind of warn people in case they don't know. But Hans, those are my two negatives. Do you have anything else to throw rocks at this scope?
Not any different than what you said. I want to give an example of how the recalibration, the manual, can affect you. And I'm going to say this. The reason why it would affect somebody like me or Jason Moore is because we're trying to get the best video that we possibly can. If you don't recalibrate the screen right before you shoot, it's not going to cause you to miss. It's not going to be the picture so distorted that you can't see. It's going to be maybe a little bit grainier. There might be some lines or something in there, but nothing that's going to cause you to miss an animal. Now, so how this does affect you and how it affected me, and it, like I said, it wasn't a big deal, but I wasn't able to get the best video possible. I had a coyote running in pretty hard. As he got closer, I was on top of a little bitty hill, and he disappeared for a little bit because he had to run up that hill. I knew he was going to crest that the hill at any second, so I couldn't close my lens cap to recalibrate, which it needed to do to get the clearest picture, because the top of that hill and where I was standing, it was about 30 yards away. So there was no way I was going to close my lens cap and take my eye off of where that head was going to pop up. So I just had to deal with it. Didn't refresh the screen. The coyote popped up, shot him. No big deal. Now, the picture still looked, you know, the image still looked great. The video still looked great, but it didn't look as great as it could have. Now, that's the only way it's really going to affect you if you're just trying to get amazing video. But it's not going to, it's an inconvenience, but it's not anything that should cause you to not buy this scope. If that's the only reason you can find not to buy this scope, I don't think that that's a lot of justification. And if every other box is checked for you as far as what you need and the must-haves that you're looking for, and that's the only one, I'm going to tell you it's well worth it, even with having to close the lens cap. So that's really my only dislike. You mentioned the other. It's,
So I want to talk about the positives here. I've got a big list here, and I think I'm going to take you always take the wind out of my sail because you take all the positives. So I'm going to do it. And if you can come up with something else, great. There's a few things, and I'm going to just hit on them quickly. Number one, I really like the American Defense mount. I mean, as y'all know, Hans and I are huge American Defense fans. We run their mounts on everything that we can. Right. High quality, American made. Excellent mounts. We've talked about this before. It's a small mount. It's got a single QD locking throw lever. That mount will return to zero. There is nothing wrong with it at all. There's some guys that see it and go, man, it's a big scope for a little mount. It needs two levers. It does not need two levers. Right. That thing is excellent. So I love the mount. The buttons Hans kind of, you know, talked about this and his little bit of a walk around and functionality. I love the button layout with the five buttons on top. You have up, down, left, right, and then a center button. It's just like a remote control. Very simple to use. You can feel those buttons. You know where your finger's at. Even if you've got on, you know, lightweight gloves, you can still feel kind of where you're at on the buttons. It is ergonomic. It is actually ambidextrous. So that's something that was a complaint on the Halo LRs.
Right.
Is the buttons were over on the left side. So it would be hard for some shooters, you know, if they wanted to use their right hand. This scope, either hand, you can use it. The buttons are exactly the same, no problem. So I think that's a big plus. Menu, I think that the Envision Optics have got such a simple to use menu. It's not something that you're going to be getting in and out of on a nightly basis. I'll tell you the truth. I can go hunt for nights on end and never open the menu. There's nothing I need to be doing in there. I mean, the scope is set up. You want to go hunting? You turn the scope on. Go hunting. It's, I mean, a lot of people ask, well, what's it like to navigate the menu? Well, it's not hard. It's actually one of the easiest scopes, but you're going to do that sitting in your living room or sitting in your pickup truck or sitting on the bench shooting it, because after that, I don't need to get into the menu at all for anything. So, but it is very easy. I like that. And then I think there's two things. One of these, you left off the specs and I didn't think of it, so I'm going to bring it up in a second, but it's going to tie into this. One is the customer service. You're getting the customer service out of Envision that you would expect to get when you buy a high-end optic like this. Okay. This is not one of those deals where you're going to call some random 800 number, you're going to press 14 buttons, you're going to sit on hold, and you're going to talk to somebody in another country. And that's not. You're buying a luxury boutique type item, and you know you're going to get that kind of service out of them. I have seen them go above and beyond even what I would, even what the customer who spent the money would have expected to, you know, quickly handle any problems, any issues, whatever it is. So super, super attentive customer service, Johnny on the spot, and it's a 5-year warranty. And that's a big deal. If you're spending this kind of money, you want to know that you've got, you know, it's an investment, and and you want to know that the company is going to stand behind this product down the road, and they will. 5 years, where the industry standard is 3 years. We are seeing some companies move into four, trying to move into five, some other companies as well. And I think that, you know, Envision has been offering a five. They were the very first people to ever offer a 5-year warranty.
Right.
And I think they're putting a lot of pressure on other companies. People saying, hey, you know what? I'm spending a lot of money, but what's it worth? What's it worth to have, you know, two extra years or one extra year? It's worth a lot. I mean, especially when you get that far down the road. And I tell people all the time, buy another electronic item. I don't care what it is. Buy it and tell me what you get. I mean, who gives you over a 1-year warranty on any electronic item you buy? And now I know you can say, well, yeah, but I'm not spending $8,000-$9,000. That's true. But they are just, they're, again, they're going above what the industry standard is. 5 years with great customer service for that whole 5 years. So kudos to them on that. I don't know what else you could talk about, but I hope that I took some wind out of your sail for a change, because you always do it to me.
No, you nailed it. No, I do. I take all the likes. So you got all of them right. Unbelievable picture image. But I'm glad you mentioned the 5-year warranty. That's a big deal. It is worth something. That is value, peace of mind, and it's definitely something to consider, especially if you're the type of person that buys a scope and wants to keep it for a long time, you know, and and that's, I guess it's kind of like when you're buying a car, you know, and it, you that's know, right. you're purchasing the longest warranty you can the time you buy the car, you know, depending on how long you think you're going to keep it. So
it's also a transferable warranty. That's a big deal. So that warranty transfers. You know, they can look that up by the serial number and see when it was originally shipped to the dealer. So it is a transferable warranty. So that's a big deal. If you go to sell this scope, because Envision comes out with something new in a couple years and you want to buy that, you know, you may still have 3 years of warranty or whatever, and you can sell that to the next guy and he feels good about it, knowing that he's going to get taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. So transferable warranty just means that it's a higher resale value for your scope. People are going to be able to buy that. Although they're buying a used scope, they know that they're getting something that's going to be covered and taken care of. So, yeah, gives you the ability to make more off of it. So, all right, we got the likes and dislikes done, and you did a good job on the likes. But who do you think this scope is good for? Because I've got my thoughts on that as well. I'm going to let you go first.
So I want to mention something that we did not bring up earlier in the review. We brought it up on our other Halo reviews. This scope is on the box, you know, on the specs. It says it's a 3.5 power. Compared to other scopes in the industry, we believe it's closer to a 3 power. That's how it's going to fall in line with some of the less expensive brands. So if you've got another brand of scope that is, you know, less expensive and you say, well, this is a 3 power, I'm going up, you're actually going to be in the exact same magnification as those scopes. So it's something to keep in mind. Right. With that 3 power, I think it's a really good all-around range. I'll tell you this, personally, it's more than I want as a Southern hog hunter. I just don't personally need that. That's why I'm big on that Halo X35 that's a 2.5, really a 2 power. But there are a lot of guys that want to, you know, hog and coyote hunt a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's also guys that are hunting hogs that just want a little extra magnification. And 3 power has really become more and more popular over time. And I think it's a great place to be. So I'd say this, if you're hunting hogs and you're in the South and, you know, you're shooting everything at 20, 30, 40, 50, you know, 100 yards max, I think it's probably more magnification than you need. I think that the Halo X35 would be, probably be a better choice. However, if you're getting into situations, maybe you're still hunting hogs, but you're on, you know, farmland, you're on really big fields, you're having a hard time, you know, getting up close enough to them, or maybe you just don't want to hike all the way out there. You want to be able to take those longer shots. I think that this 3 power or 3.5, as they call it, would be a really good option for that. I think if you're coyote hunting, period, this is the scope. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that unless you're just... and I do run into this sometimes. I'll talk to some guys that are from maybe the Carolinas or Kentucky, and they tell me, hey, we're hunting in the hills. We can't see, you know, over 150 yards. We have very small openings, small pastures. Well, in that case, okay, maybe the 2.5 power is going to be better. But for 95% of the coyote hunters, you're going to want the little extra magnification. It is going to help you on all those shots at 100 plus yards. If you're that guy that you really do need or want to shoot out there in that 250, maybe even 300 yard range, you're absolutely going to want the more magnification that this scope offers. So in a nutshell, I think it's perfect for almost every coyote hunter. I think it's really good for hog and coyote hunters, a guy that's going to do a lot of both. And I think it's good for the hog hunter that either is maybe you just don't, you know, maybe you're getting older, maybe you don't have the eyesight that you used to, maybe you just prefer a little more magnification, or you're wanting to take a little bit longer ranges. I think it's good for you for that guy as well. So that's my two cents.
So when they announced these scopes and the Halo X's and the different models, the different magnifications, Jason immediately said, I want the X35. He said, that's my scope. that's what I want. And I said, I need the X50, you know, and Jason and I do a lot of similar hunting. We hunt in similar places. But I have found that I do like a little bit higher base magnification. I do a little bit more coyote hunting these days than I ever have before. And, you know, you have to see too, the most popular, I would say, people are gravitating towards this one, XRF, you know, the higher magnification ones. But I think the X35 is a good optic for a lot of people down here. If you are used to shooting in that base magnification, the 2.5 power, and you like it, you know, I would definitely stick with it. And if you're hunting close and that's the way you like to do. It does, I will say this, with the Halo X50, if you are stocking up on hogs and you typically get 50 yards away, it does make it a little bit more difficult with the Halo X50 on shooting hogs on the run when they start scattering and, you know, trying to keep them in your field of view as they're running that close. So that's a little bit of a, you know, difficulty, but other than that, not, you know, I agree with you on the, on who it's good for, but, you're right though. Also more and more people, are changing their thoughts on, higher base magnification units. And I'm one of them. Cause I always was, you know, the Pulsar Trail, which was 1.5 power, I loved it, then started moving to two and a half, and now three, so with the Halo X50. So it's, you get kind of spoiled. It makes it a little bit easier to take those close shots.
It is, and I think that I was actually trying to find a spec there that I couldn't find. I was looking real quick on my phone. It is, and I think that the field of view, now I'd like to, I don't know if I can find the field of view there real quick. Field of view is still decent on it, so that's one thing I think we've seen is the manufacturers have been able to keep the field of view on these little bit higher magnification scopes a little wider. So I know, you know, back in the day, there were some of these, you know, 3-4 power scopes that were super narrow, and it was like looking down a drinking straw, you know. I mean, you just couldn't see anything left or right. This scope's not that way. So Hans is right. Unless you're getting right up on top of them, which is what I really, really like to do with hogs. I mean, I try to get in there at 20, 30 yards, and it's going to be a little more difficult to take that second shot until they get out there a little bit. But again, that's why I'm saying there's a scope for that. They made that. That's the X35. But this is going to be good for the longer range shooter. Now, I want to talk about real quick as we kind of wrap this, just the overall thoughts. And I think, you know, anything we say here, we're just going to be repeating what we've already said. It's just how much we really do like the scope. It is, in my opinion, this is, we always give these caveats. It's July 2021. I do not believe there is a scope on the market that offers better image quality than the Halo X3550 and XRF. Okay. These are the top of the line thermal optics. If you say, I want the very best image quality that I can get, these are it. I mean, this is what they're for. Now, they're a lot of money and they're going to be priced out of a lot of guys' price range. I completely understand that. But if you're one of those guys who have worked your way up from, you know, maybe started with night vision, maybe, you know, digital night vision, and you've, you know, got you a couple $1,000 scope, and then you just moved up and up and up, and it's kind of that progression that we all do with our hobbies, and then it just turns into, okay, I'm ready to have the best thing I can afford. Yeah. I think that this is it. This is a very well-designed scope. When you pick it up, you are going to know that this is a high-end, well-made, well-designed, well-thought-out optic. And that's something we didn't even mention. It is important to a lot of people, especially nowadays. This is an American-made optic. This is the best. What I like that it's the best on the market and it's American-made. You know, there's a lot of good scopes coming from overseas, but I'm happy to see that, you know, America is actually able to say, we got the best one. I mean, this is it. And so it is. It's really, really good. So anyway, I'm just going to say this, and I'll let you have the closing thoughts. But overall, I think these are just amazing scopes. If you're looking for the best, this is them. And you're buying it with a five-year warranty, knowing that you're going to get the best, or at least as good as anybody else out there when it comes to customer service. Yep. So you've got that in your back pocket of you're getting backed up with, I'm not just buying this thing and I'm never going to be able to talk to the company. If you need something, they're there for you. And that's a big deal to me.
Yep. I'll say one last thing, that Halo LR, which has been out for a couple of years. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. Those things flew off the shelf at $7,500 a piece. And this is, $84.95. It's pretty much got a lot of the same specs. I would say the picture image on it is a little bit better than the old Halo LRs previous to this year, but you're getting internal video recording and rechargeable batteries that are batteries you can find anywhere. It's well worth the $1,000 additional if you are that type of buyer. If you're in that market, it's worth it. So if you're looking to purchase any thermal optic, any night vision optic, if you want to take a closer look at the InVision stuff, you can do so at OutdoorLegacyGear.com. You can always call us at 877-350-1818. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to get a chance to earn your business. And, you know, what we do is what we are known for, I think, and Jason sometimes is really humble to and doesn't like to brag, but it's the service after the sale, the customer service after the sale. Jason and I, we meet and we talk several times a day about what we can do to put more information out into the public, to educate people more. We understand that all the content that we create, whether it be my hunting videos, Jason's review, my reviews, the podcast, we know that that content is being used by people to help them sell scopes that aren't creating any content. We know that. And we still do it anyway because we know that it's a service to our customers that we put that information out there. And that's really what's most important to us. It's a lot of work. I was up for 2 hours last night making a how to zero a Pulsar thermal scope. And I was getting so frustrated. And I know, you know, it doesn't really do a lot for us, but there's going to be customers of ours out there that it helps. So that's, we do a lot of work, y'all, and we really appreciate the support. We know we get a lot of great talk, you know, a lot of people talk and call us all day about how they love the company, the show, our channels, all that stuff. And we really, really appreciate it. So with that being said, if you want to find out more about Outdoor Legacy, you can check out the socials on Facebook, on Instagram, Outdoor Legacy and Outdoor Legacy Gear on YouTube, Outdoor Legacy. You can find me on YouTube at Hans ETX. That's H-A-N-S ETX. You can also find me on Instagram at Hans ETX. And then go check out all the other past podcast episodes. We're on 168 right now, but you can find all 167 previous shows at thelatenightvisionshow.com. So please go check it out.
Yep. Last thing I'll say is, and Hans might have said it, I don't know there. I do appreciate all the words that he said, and I agree with it. If you want to talk to us about this optic, the Halo X50, or any other night vision or thermal optic out there, you can call us. If you're, you know, you're ready to buy, but you just don't know what to buy, you need some help getting off high center on an optic, call us anytime. That number is 877-350-1818. Folks, we appreciate you coming back here this week to watch this show. Please subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the Late Night Vision Show. And we will be back, good Lord willing, Creek Don't Rise, next week with another great show. But between now and then, y'all stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.